Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. Hope you're absolutely doing fantastic, my fellow Americans. Our goal is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Best of all, ladies and gentlemen, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. As you know, we were live on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, rebroadcast shows. You say, why on earth, Sam? Because I went to Florida, and we went to Disney World, and it was fantastic. There's a few problems, though. You got to wear masks indoors. I put on a mask a little bit of the time to comply. Otherwise, they literally will throw you out. But I didn't wear a mask most of the time. I wore a mask outside. I did not wear a mask outside ever because they don't require it. Inside, I complied really to the best of my ability. As you know, and I've mentioned on the radio before, part of the reason that I avoid compliance on that is because I just flat out cannot breathe. I get short of breath. I get dizzy. I lack necessary oxygen. I already have issues with breathing as it is, as you all have heard over the last couple of years on the radio. But I went to Disney World, had a great time, good people. Florida's a lot freer than most places, but you know what? Everybody wants you to believe Florida's a bastion of freedom. I don't know that it's more free than other places, per se. I don't really see it. Disneyland still locks you down. And what they would say is, well, that's Disney's choice. You're right, on one hand. On the other hand, right in the middle of Florida, Disney has created kind of their own laws, even. It's like almost a CHAZ in the middle of the city. Not exactly because it's not unruly, but in that they have become so big, so behemoth, that they can throw their weight around. And as you know, whoever can throw their weight around, they end up with, what do you want to call it? A lot of power. And then that power gets to people's heads, and then they start making up their own rules. It's amazing how that all works. There you have it. You could say it's private property, right? Anyway, huge swaths of private property controlled by big, big corporations who are woke, who hate families. They act like they like families, but Disney these days undermines the family. You say, Sam, well, why did you even go to Disney in the first place? You know, every one of us are going to have to face this in our society. And this really relates to the topic at hand for discussion today with our guests coming up in mere seconds. But we're really going to have to decide, how are we going to behave? Are we going to have a division in America like you've never seen? Or are we going to be civil and kind and respectful to one another? Right? And so what happens when something as simple like this occurs? You're going on a ride, and they say the ride is partially indoors. So you got to wear a mask to be on the ride. And the way they try to encourage the mask is they remind you, please wear a mask, please wear a mask, please wear a mask. But then what they do is they say this, the ride takes your photo, whether you like it or not. It's almost like forced photo taking, right? So they take your photo. Well, now what they're doing is they're threatening, if you don't have your mask on in the photo, they won't even release the picture to you anymore. So now you get family members who want a photo who are like, you know, you need to put on your mask so we can get this photo. You can either ruin the family event and not have a photo because you won't wear a mask, and you know, or you can just comply. Then the debate from those of us who don't want to wear masks and don't want to comply, we say, well, it's because of you folks that we have to wear masks anyway because you're all complying. And then the debate goes, well, we wouldn't be able to stop it anyway. There's not enough of us. So you might as well cave in now. And the debate rages on. Well, that's a microcosm of really what we discussed with our guest, Chris Carlson, last week. Right? Isn't that really the deal? I think so. Last week, we talked with Chris Carlson about a project that he undertook to warn his neighbors. Alexa, just stop. No one even said the name of that machine. It just goes off random, right? Anyway, last week we talked with Chris Carlson about a project that he undertook to warn his neighbors and church congregation of a pending catastrophe. What was that about? The recent emergency use authorization of vaccines, mRNA vaccine for children. Even though some people got in his face about it, some people were grateful for the warning. The responses were as far apart as you could get. Some were literally hostile, some were grateful. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So last week was a great warning. And really this broadcast in its entire existence, 25 years on your radio, has been a massive warning. A warning that we better turn to God Almighty and repent or we're in serious trouble. A warning about we need to return to the roots of our founding fathers. We need to return to the checks and balances that made America great. We need to return to the constitutional law of the land, not the made-up law of the future controllers of Walt Disney. God rest his soul, he'd be turning over in his grave, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, not the laws of Walt Disney or Chaz or the laws of rogue agents within government. I'm talking about the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, with its checks and balances and everything else, right? But our guest, Chris Carlson, is with us now. We need to speak up, ladies and gentlemen. We are already in trouble. Warn the people, ladies and gentlemen, should be what we do. That's what Christians should do. That's what we've been doing on your radio, providing a witness and a warning about not only the troubles we face, but the solutions. This is a solutions-oriented program. We don't down America. We talk about the greatness of America. We don't bury our light under a bushel. We put it on a hill for all to see and do our best to set a clarion call for civility, a clarion call for morality, a clarion call for God, family, and country. And with that, Chris Carlson, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
I love it, my friend. So last week, we provided a great warning and gave the example of the warning that you wrote. You wrote a missive, if you will, a letter, and you put it on all your neighbors' doors so they could kind of read and get caught up. And the logic was, you know what, if you want to read it, please do. And if you don't, just throw it away or whatever you want to do. But I want to do my duty to provide this warning. This is scriptural in nature, right?
Yes, sir. So Jesus Christ told us, "Behold, I sent you out to testify and warn the people, and it becometh every man who hath been warned to warn his neighbor. Therefore, they are left without excuse, and their sins are upon their own heads," Sam. And that is the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
All right, now let's be clear, though. Let's be clear. That's a scripture from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints canon of scripture known as the Doctrine and Covenants. But there's also companion biblical scripture to back this up or support this idea, right?
Oh, yeah. I probably should have done a little deeper research to find a similar scripture. But Jesus did tell his disciples that I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Be therefore harmless as doves, yet wise as serpents. And that's another admonition similar to this one that we can talk about if you'd like.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, Christians have been very good at being as harmless as doves or as lambs, but we have not been as wise as serpents, at least not lately. And we need to be very careful that that we do what we're supposed to do, but we need to do our research so that we don't come off looking like fools and uneducated and unprepared for the debate.
And part of the research that you did is in Mark 12:31, which
yes,
illustrates the powerful Christian principle we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
We have extra scripture as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and so Chris brings that forward. But I want to tie it to the Bible as well, because a lot of our listeners may not believe in some of the other scriptures we do, but they believe in the Christian concept, and that's what we're documenting here. That's what we're articulating, is this idea that we are our brother's keepers. We are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are supposed to make sure that we do our duty or else the sins be upon our hands. But if we do our duty, Chris?
If we do our duty, then the sins, if our brothers and sisters in the Christian world don't respond to our warnings, will be upon their heads, Sam. And then we will be exonerated and left unguilty for anything that we may have missed doing. And I didn't want to be in that position when I stood before the judgment bar of God, Sam.
So, well, neither do I. And that's this radio program for 25 years, Chris. You know, I'm not here just to give everybody a negative view. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. But I am here to give a appropriate witness and a warning. If we keep the commandments of God, we should be blessed and protected. And if we don't, then you know what? We're left over to the buffetings of our own choice. We can choose as we will, but the consequences we don't get to choose is the sad scenario. And so we do warn. We do our very best to be truth tellers, to be the witness, to be the warning, to be the watchman on the towers. That's what we try to do here on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So last week there was a great article Chris Carlson wrote, gave it to all of his neighbors. He got some blowback and some great news. We'll tell you about that, but first we want to establish these incredible principles of how important it is to speak out and be this witness and a warning, to truly be your brother's keeper, to truly love your neighbor as yourself. What does that require of us, huh? Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. The analogy of if I were on a beach in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, the roundtable is not just Sam Bushman babbling at you. It is all kinds of incredible people bringing awesome topics, solutions, ideas, concerns, what they're working on, all to the roundtable. I act as host and core anchor for the show oftentimes and enjoy these discussions immensely. But Chris Carlson is with me on Fridays, and he's with me now. With God, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is God's, but we need to get involved immediately. Incredible wisdom. Speak up, ladies and gentlemen. We are already in trouble. We got to warn the people, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully I have set the stage for us to really understand who we are and what we must do as Christians, as Americans, as we are our brother's keeper, as we love our neighbors as ourselves, as we are on the watchtower, providing solutions and answers and warnings and witnesses, really with a goal of protection. And so Chris is on a beach. Chris?
Yeah, but if I could add to the commentary that you just made, God will give us the victory. He will always also, Sam, give us the courage to engage ourselves in that fight. And that's something that that took me a little bit of courage, and I called upon God to help me with that when I did this, because I knew that I was going to ruffle some feathers, because when I did it previously, the same thing had happened. But this time, I think the backlash was a little more than before, but that's okay. At least I know people are paying attention, and that's important too. But anyway, on the beach. If I were on a beach, Sam, and had foreknowledge of a tsunami that would soon come to shore, I would have the obligation to warn the people on the beach of this coming disaster. If I failed to do so, the blood of many innocent people would then be upon my head. If I warned every person on that beach, but no one heeded my warning, there would still be as many needless victims as there would be if I had warned them. The only difference would be that I would now not have their innocent blood upon my head. It would be upon their own heads, and they, not I, would be left without excuse. And that's how I feel about this. And again, I don't want to go before the judgment bar of God and have the regret of knowing that I could have done so much more and I didn't, to warn my neighbors of this impending disaster that we are in, especially this recent emergency use authorization, like you said, Sam, of the Pfizer mRNA vaccine for children. When I heard that that was coming out, I knew that I had to take action, and I did.
Ladies and gentlemen, what to understand here is this. We must do our duty. We must do our diligence. We must be vigilant in our efforts here, ladies and gentlemen. We show we're our brother's keeper. We show we're our neighbor's best friend. We show we're Christians and followers of Christ. And there's several people who have gone before us who have felt the same way. Speak up. We're already in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Warn the people is the topic for today's discussion. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, he's not really even, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is not even the guy that I'm really super fond of. But like I say, his rhetoric was always spot on. What happened in the wake of his actions sometimes was concern. Where he got his money and how he lived his life was of great concern. But the words were spot on. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Very good quote along the way. There are a lot of people who have warned ahead of our time, Chris. We just follow in their footsteps, right?
Yeah, and I was willing to take the flack from a few people, knowing that some... Maybe one, Sam, if only one person heeded my warning and decided not to vaccinate their children with this new dangerous vaccine coming out, I would consider my mission a success. I hope a lot more people than just one heed it. And it sounds like one person, I don't know if you want to go to those quotes right now.
Yeah, let's go. You betcha. Okay.
So here are a couple of responses, and I actually got... my ecclesiastical leader actually called me into his office, and we talked a little bit about some things that I maybe shouldn't have done when I wrote the letter, but I don't want to get into the details. Let's get into the response is probably the worst. Chris, please stop leaving articles on our door. I have asked you once before. I am not interested in your opinion on any matter you may have. Stay away from us. If you don't, I will look into a restraining order. I am serious. And the spouse of that same individual said this, Sam. I am concerned about your well-being. It is not normal behavior to go around the neighborhood taping lengthy treatises on the front doors of homes on Thanksgiving Day. That's the only day I had because I'm so busy. Steve Kirsch is one of the individuals in the treatise that I quoted. Steve Kirsch is not credible, and his claims about vaccines are not credible. Therefore, your treatise is not credible. I urge you to see your doctor about your mental health, unquote. But you know what? I looked at that as a positive, Sam. Do you know why? Because most people, I suspect, would
take they obviously read the details, right?
He read the details. Now, yeah, having read the details, at least there's a seed planted in his heart. He may not allow that seed to grow today or tomorrow or next week, But, if, you know, if he sees a little more evidence, at least he'll have something to go back on and say, wait a minute, didn't I hear something about these vaccines being dangerous?
Well, you're exactly right. And let me tell you an interesting story about that, Chris, because this relates to the whole history of Liberty Roundtable Live and warning the people and speaking up and doing our very best to educate and inform and support and provide solutions, etc. You know, when I first started this radio program, I brought up really hardcore news. For example, I don't know if you know, but eating aborted babies in China was a delicacy. And they used to sell baby, you know, fetus, babies, you know, kind of cells in these bottles, and people would eat it as a health food delicacy in China. And I reported this, and people would say, Sam, you are off your rocker nuts crazy. Where do you get this whacked out stuff? And that's just one example. We reported also that they would basically bring in people to vote. This is literally 25 years ago. People would vote that were homeless, and what they would do is they would basically bring them on buses to vote for a six-pack of beer. So it's like, hey, sir, on the street, if I, you know, put you on this bus and you go vote, and I'll give you a six-pack of beer, is that a deal? Then the, you know, homeless guy would be like, ah, yes, sir, sounds like a deal. Okay, and we literally talked about vote fraud that way back in the day. And people said, Sam, where do you get this stuff? You're crazy. You're just crazy. And you know what? 10, 15, 20 years later, now everybody's going, Sam, how did you know this stuff? How did you, I don't understand how you were so up on this. It's crazy. And now they come to me with stories and go, Sam, did you see this one? And I go, yeah, I did. And they go, it's just getting worse. Yeah, you're right. It is. And what I'm telling you is the truth. And so, you know what? I agree with you. I don't know that I'd keep putting it on their door if they've specifically asked you not to, because I'd respect their agency. But I do get the point that you're making, and I do have evidence that it works and that it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you're planting a seed, because I happen to know, and this goes with my customers. You know, I have 400 or 500 customers that I attend to on a yearly basis, and I know where they get their news. It's usually Fox here in Utah, because we're conservative, right? We're good conservative people. You're not getting the information that was contained in that document that I gave them from Fox.
Yeah, and my question for all those Fox watchers is, do you trust the network that's got sex scandal after sex scandal? Do you trust the network that eventually Glenn Beck had to quit because he wanted to talk about God and they wouldn't let him? Just like my story in the news, I came out with a story similarly, but I had a different reaction than Glenn Beck did, literally 15, 20 years before Glenn did. But again, these are the people that won't let you talk about God. They're godless, and they're just full of sex scandals, right? That's the kind of people you're going to trust for your news. Good luck with that, people.
Well, Fox is still promoting the vaccine. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. But, you know, they still believe it's safe and effective. Anyway, so that was a negative response. Do you want to hear the positive one now, Sam?
Absolutely. So we're just giving you the highlights, ladies and gentlemen. There was a ton more responses than this, but we're giving you the extremes so you can see both sides, right?
Yes, sir. And I wish, and I think a lot more people will eventually speak up, because last time I did this, I had 7 or 8 people come to me personally and thank me. And then I had that one negative response, which was actually the same as the family that I just quoted from. Anyway, here's the positive one. Thank you, Chris, for sharing that information with everybody this morning. We think along the same lines as you and have not been vaccinated either because of what we've seen happen to other people. Would it be possible to have you send the digital copy of this to our email so that we can share with our family too? Thanks again for your time and effort. And that was nice. I'm glad that they took the time to send me that, and then I did send them a digital copy. And now they're going to forward that to friends and family themselves, which is what I wanted to happen. In fact, I invited people to do that in the actual document.
Ladies and gentlemen, talk radio, one of the first real social media solutions. It still continues its primary central role today. Hang tight, Chris Carlson, in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The question is on passage of the bill. Those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, please say no. The ayes have it.
The House on Thursday passed a bill to extend government funding through February 18th. The measure then went to the Senate, where it faced a partisan battle. Some senators indicate they would push for a shutdown in an effort to leverage President Biden's OSHA vaccine mandate. Later on in the night, the Senate passed the resolution to continue government funding through February of next year. The measure passed in the Senate 69-28. The state of Oklahoma filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration's constitutional overreach on Thursday in order to block the enforcement of Biden's vaccine mandate for federal employees. The lawsuit started flying one day after the defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, denied Oklahoma Governor Republican Kevin Stitt a request to exempt Oklahoma National Guard from the mandate. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn. John and Chelsea Jubilee with Energized Health are regular guests on my show, sharing their breakthrough science of inner cellular hydration. They help people burn fat fast, supercharge their energy, boost their immune system, reverse ailments and disease with no painful exercises and no restrictive fad diets. I'm Exhibit A. I've been on the program for over a year now. During the first 88 days, I lost 25 pounds of inner body fat and I gained 10 pounds of muscle. And I've never gained the fat or weight back. I look and feel great. Everywhere I go, people tell me I look 10 years younger. Don't just take my word for it. Go to EnergizedHealth.com and check out hundreds of amazing testimonials. Right now, John and Chelsea are giving my fans a special Christmas gift. Energized Health will pay for your spouse's transformation. Sign up before Christmas and your spouse is free. Go now to EnergizedHealth.com or call 888-444-8895. That's 888-444-8895 or EnergizedHealth.com.
Let's get an inflation update.
45% of Americans in a new Gallup poll reported that recent price increases are causing their families some degree of financial hardship, with 10% describing the hardship as severe. Gallup saying lower income households are likely to be hit especially hard by the recent price increases, with 71% of households making less than $40,000 a year saying inflation has caused hardship. This as Republican Senator from Arkansas Tom Cotton believes President Biden is doing more harm than good when it comes to inflation.
We've had this pandemic for 2 years. We didn't have this kind of inflation, though, until Joe Biden and the Democrats took office. And he's largely just shifting the blame. He's not trying to come up with answers. He's blaming oil companies or OPEC for high gas prices, for instance. Well, it's Joe Biden who shut down the Keystone Pipeline on his first day in office, who refuses to authorize other pipelines needed to move petroleum products across the country.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
We are USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I had a computer problem and just had to reboot my computer. But, you know, William Wilberforce back in the day was getting rid of slavery. We in America, they claim it took a war to get rid of slavery. I don't believe that the Civil War is about slavery. It was about states' rights and about the authority of government. But that's a sidetrack discussion for now. The point is William Wilberforce was able to get rid of slavery without war. Do you have that quote, Chris? I'm rebooting a computer right now. I thought I had it. But give the quote exactly. These quotes kind of highlight to you, ladies and gentlemen, some of the people that have gone before us, and when they stood up, what a difference they were able to make. Even though at the time they were called a lunatic, at the time they were hated, they were berated, they were abused, they were falsely accused. I could go on and on from the Martin Luther days about the scriptures on down to modern day with Chris and the reaction he's getting when he speaks out and warns the people. Chris, William Wilberforce.
William Wilberforce, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. And I would like to use a really quick analogy, Sam. I was country when country wasn't cool. William Wilberforce was anti-slavery when anti-slavery was not cool. And guess what? Now he's a hero. And I look at it from the same perspective, don't you? A lot of the
By the way, I was anti-vax at the start of this program over 25 years ago when anti-vax wasn't cool. I'm really pro-choice, though. I'm not anti-vax. That's kind of a misnomer. He was not really against slavery as much as he was for freedom. In other words, it's how you look at the discussion that is key here. If somebody wants to take a vaccine, go ahead. but leave us free to choose not to. Now, I'm not saying that we allow people to have slaves. I'm just saying that, you know, I want to be pro-liberty, pro-freedom for all. I don't want to look at it as that I'm anti-anything. But that's the way they love to frame the argument. So we need to be very careful. William Wilberforce was pro-freedom. And I am pro-freedom. And that's really important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. But Max and John have an interesting story, huh?
Yes, sir. I like this. And I'm going to give credit to John Allen, the comedian. I think he may be deceased by now, but this is an anecdote that I read a long time ago. So Max and John had spent the last year in a Nazi concentration camp. They were now being escorted to the gas chambers to meet their final doom. Max, letting his righteous indignation get the best of him, decided to give the German commandant over this death march a piece of his mind. Using every German curse word he knew, he gave the commandant a severe scolding. Just then, however, his friend John came running up, apologizing to the commandant, and told Max to behave himself before they got into trouble. And then my response is, speak up, we are already in trouble, Sam. So, you know, we're not being, maybe not being marched to a gas chamber. It may not be that serious at this point. But, you know, we're really in an awful situation with these mandates and you know, these vaccinations and, you know, the way the world's going. We're already in trouble. We've got to open our mouths because we have to extricate ourselves from the mess that we've already put ourselves in. I don't care if I get in trouble or not. This is, to me, this mission, this project that I'm undertaking is an eternal one. And I don't want to look back and say, I should have done this or I should have done that. Just do what is right and let the consequence follow. And know that, you know, the demons, the people that are scorned and hated and marginalized today are going to be the heroes of the future. And it's not like I'm angling for a hero's position, but I do not want a child to get injured by one of these vaccines. And if I can influence 400 people within my sphere of influence, that's something at least that I can do. I don't have a big microphone like you do, Sam, and you're doing a great job, by the way.
You have one now, buddy.
Hero.
Gandhi and Kennedy.
I know.
Gandhi and Kennedy have microphones, even though they lived a long time ago and told their tale. Gandhi longer than Kennedy, obviously, but I'm saying both of them have a microphone today through us.
Yeah. Yep. Gandhi said, silence becomes cowardice when occasion demands speaking out the whole truth and acting accordingly. And then Robert F. Kennedy, like you mentioned, each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And I would like to think that if a lot of us send out those ripples of hope, eventually they can become waves and eventually tidal waves of truth that resonate throughout the world. But more people have to stand up. And that was the idea behind this project. Hey, get a copy of this. Send it to your friends and family and neighbors. You know, let's start these ripples developing, you know, through our spheres of influence. And if we can't go beyond that, that's fine. In fact, there's a quote here from, this is one that Ezra Taft Benson was fond of using. Edward Everett Hale. Have you ever heard this one?
Go ahead, sir. I'll tell you after I hear it.
Okay. Right? Okay. He says, and Ezra Taft Benson used to use this a lot when he used to speak, you know, throughout the United States. He said, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, that I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. And
yes, I've heard that one. And that's really kind of the tale, ladies and gentlemen. Another way to say it is a guy by the name of Chuck Harder, who used to be a radio host, who's now passed away. He did a radio program called For the People, and he used to say this: I cannot fix the world by 3 o'clock, but I can do what I'm doing to make a difference, and that's what I'm going to do. And so his whole point was, hey, you know what? I can't solve everything, right? I'll do what I can. Here's another quote that highlights this point. Each time a man stands up for an idea, or an ideal, I mean, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. Now, you kind of read that one, Kennedy, but I wanted to repeat that in light of what we're just saying here. You know what? I can't do everything. I can't solve it all. But I can do my part, and that I will do, ladies and gentlemen. I will do that. Now, in America, ladies and gentlemen, as we're watchmen on the Hill, we've highlighted this example. If a tsunami was coming, you know what? Is it appropriate to warn the people? Yes, it is. We've talked about these leaders, William Wilberforce, Martin Luther King Jr., all the way down. And in their day, they were considered heretics. They were considered psychotic and crazy, dangerous. In fact, many of them died for their beliefs, right?
Absolutely.
And others. And they really stood the test of time. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be vindicated in time for our stance. All right? And I believe in America, we have kind of developed Stockholm Syndrome. Sadly, yes. Stockholm Syndrome is live and well in America. This is a sad tale, ladies and gentlemen. And you say, well, what is that? I've heard of that, but I can't remember what it is. Chris?
Okay, so according to the online dictionary, Sam, the definition of Stockholm Syndrome is, quote, feeling of trust or affection felt in many cases of kidnapping or hostage taking by a victim toward a captor. The following is a brief account. So I give this account. This is where this started on August 23rd of 1973. There was an individual, a criminal by the name of Jan Erik Olsson, who entered the, now these are Swedish words, so forgive me if I don't pronounce them correctly, the Sveriges Kreditbanken, so that's one of their main banks there in Stockholm, and took four bank employees hostage. He demanded more than $700,000 in Swedish and foreign currency, a getaway car, and the release of one of his prison buddies. So holed up inside a cramped bank vault, the captives, I'll just give the names real quick. One was named Kristen, Brigetta, Elizabeth, and the other, the male one. So those three are females, was Sven. So basically, he took them captive and held them against their will inside this bank vault. But as you would expect these people to become hostile towards their captors, they actually struck up quite a friendship, which was very intriguing to people who observed this 2 or 3 day ordeal. And I'll give you some of the quotes from the captors concerning their, the captives towards their captors. They said, I remember thinking he was very kind to allow me to leave the vault. They let this one individual, Elizabeth, leave the vault because she was getting claustrophobia. They tied a rope around her and let her go for a little walk out in the lobby, I guess. But they did tie a rope to her. But she was so grateful that they let her do that. another one, this is Finn, the male captive. When he treated us well, we could think of him as an emergency god. And I'm not sure what the heck that means, an emergency god. Well, they thought very highly of him, apparently.
Well, it means that when things are at crisis level, someone comes to your aid, right? And I'll give you an example of that. We believe Donald Trump was doing that in America when he supposedly was fighting back against Obamacare. We believe Trump was doing that when he rushed the vaccines to market. He was the God savior in the emergency, right? Not. Hang tight. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson, truth-telling on your radio. Speak up, ladies and gentlemen. We are already in trouble. Warn the people, ladies and gentlemen. This is critical, ladies and gentlemen. Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. We're talking about Stockholm Syndrome in America. Sadly, it's alive and well. What is Stockholm Syndrome? What you do is, the easiest way to explain it is this: good cop, bad cop. And it might be two different people. It might be one person. Doesn't matter. Whoever your captors are, they literally abuse you to the point of trauma. And then once the trauma sets in, the panic, then they do a couple of kind, nice gestures. Kind, nice things for you, and you believe they're your savior. Presidents in America have been doing this for a long time. On one hand, they back off on something and make you feel like, oh, they're the good guys. But the deep state has the good cop, bad cop mentality. They have the captor abuse you so hard, then back off a little bit and throw out a little bit of kindness, and people are then deceived into believing that, hey, their captors are the good guys. In fact, in the Stockholm Syndrome example, which defined this psychological term or reality check, they really doubled down and dug into this, and they would defend their captors even against those who were trying to help them. Chris?
Yeah, and when you become captive, a captive audience in this case, but you know what? We can voluntarily become captives to a news network like Fox or CNN or the mainstream media in general, but that's a voluntary form of captivation. But anyway, so in this situation, in this bank heist in 1973, I think this paragraph is very telling, Sam. When the police commissioner was allowed inside to inspect the hostage's health, he noticed that the captives appeared to be hostile to him, but relaxed and jovial with the gunman. The police chief told the press that he doubted the gunman would harm the hostages because they had developed a, quote, rather relaxed relationship. And a couple more really quick quotes, and then we can move on. One of the captives said, "I fully trust Clark and the robber." In another instance, that captive said, "I am not desperate. They haven't done a thing to us." And listen to this extreme example. So the male captive, Sven, he says, "How kind I thought he was for saying it was just my leg that he would shoot." Oh, he's only going to shoot your leg. It's not going to be a mortal wound. And he was grateful for that because I think they ended up shooting his leg, you know, just to, you know, give the police a little sense of how serious they were about their undertaking. But they became best friends. In fact, as they were leaving, one of the captors said, "Clark, I will see you again." They were looking forward to a reunion with their captor, Sam. It's incredible.
It's shocking, but it happens, and it's basically, now we talk about, you know, post-war stress disorder or post-war syndrome or whatever you want, PSD or whatever, and, okay, a lot of this relates to the point where your mind gets mixed up about the truth of a situation. You're too close to it. You're too traumatized by it, and I say that's what they've done to America. You hear the term gaslighting. It's another term to kind of highlight this. We've been gaslighted so hard and then offered a, quote, olive branch of kindness to the point where we're Stockholm syndromed and deceived into believing that those who are abusing us are our friends. Donald Trump came along as a savior from Obama and the Democrats, and he came along and he rushed the vaccine to market to save us all. He fought hard against Obamacare. He told you how evil the media was. Well, he was right on those things. And it's right when someone's claustrophobic to say, well, let me let you go out where you're not so feel like the walls are caving in on you. Okay, even Satan does this to a great degree where he mixes a little lie with a bunch of truth. But you know what? At the end of the day, you're so far from what matters that you've lost your bearings and you're unable. So I believe Satan is the great Stockholm leader. But this is something we see, and we see it over and over and over. There's example after example of this through history. Chris?
Yeah, you know, Stockholm syndrome is real. And, you know, one of those quotes, or two of those quotes that I read earlier is a perfect illustration of that. These people were hostile towards me because I had left this four-page document on their door that they didn't want to hear. And maybe it's because their children are grown, and maybe it's because the information made them uncomfortable because it was too late. Maybe they had already gotten the shots. Maybe their kids or their grandchildren had already gotten the shot. And I'm sorry. That doesn't mean that I'm going to ignore everybody else who may be still contemplating getting the shot and not have received it yet. You know, and I'm sorry if that's the way you feel. I'm just the messenger here, buddy. But anyway, just know that Satan is real and that his dominion over the hearts and minds of people is increasing. Stockholm syndrome can affect 4 people or 4 billion people, just like you said. It can be a small number or it can be entire nations, which we are now witnessing. In fact, throughout the world, people, I think, for the most part, are following Dr. Fauci and Dr. Redfield and Rochelle Walensky on the shots. And they keep on upping the ante. Now they've introduced this new strain from South Africa that they're trying to use to pick up people who heretofore, like you and me, Sam, have not taken the jab. And I think it might be successful because of the hype that they're able to generate through the mainstream media. And everybody seems to be on board except people like you and me who do the actual research and know that this is a gigantic scam that's being perpetrated on the American people. So don't be sucked in by this mass Stockholm syndrome. And I use a quote here, Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Sam, that was Isaiah 2,700 years ago warning us that in these latter days we're going to have things that are horrible and take the lives of millions of people presented to us as savior solutions to problems that have been created by the mainstream media. I don't know if you heard the joke about the Amish guy that comes into town and he hears all of this scuttlebutt about the pandemic and about masks and about social distancing, and he says, what's going on here? You know, I've been separated from you guys for the last 6 months. What's going on? Oh, haven't you heard? We have a pandemic. And the Amish guy says, no, I haven't heard. I don't have a TV. That's a joke, Sam. You're supposed to
it
laugh
at this
point.
It is insanity. It's hard to laugh at when we're talking about such a serious matter, though. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Trump. If you want to prepare yourselves to see mass Stockholm syndrome concerning Trump, listen to this CNN. I don't know if you covered this. I've listened to most of your broadcasts for the last week. So this just came out on Tuesday, Sam. Then this is CNN. So all the mainstream media outlets are reporting this. Jeffrey Epstein's former pilot, I think his name is Lawrence Psaki, testified in Ghislaine Maxwell. I've heard that pronounced so many different ways, so we'll just say Ghislaine Maxwell's sex trafficking trial Tuesday that a who's who of powerful men, including former President Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, flew aboard Epstein's private plane. Now, can you imagine the intellectual gymnastics that are going to be used to justify why Donald Trump is now, by a credible source, been identified as one of the passengers on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express? You're going to see mass Stockholm syndrome surrounding that.
Yes, you are, and they're going to be defending Trump despite, and the example is true. Look, there's been people who have gone to jail over this stuff. Epstein supposedly committed suicide. I don't know if he really did or not. Some say he's alive and well. I don't know the truth on that. Here's what I know, though. For some reason, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, when allegations are made against them of sexual harassment, rape, and beyond, then they're just, those claims are just dismissed and the girls are bimbo eruptions. However, so it depends on who you are on if it sticks or not, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, when it's Bill Clinton, they say, of course, that guy's credible. We can believe him. But in the same sentence, Donald Trump, no, we can't believe him on that count. You know, he's lying now. But that's just an example of Stockholm Syndrome or normalcy bias. We want to believe what we want to believe because it is comfortable, not because it's true, not because it's credible, you know, because it makes us comfortable. It doesn't take us out of our comfort zone, which is our belief system that we've been living under for the last 40, 50 years, and we don't want to be jolted out of that comfort zone. Well, I was jolted out of that comfort zone 20 years ago, as we talked about in the past, Sam, and I realized that the fake Hegelian dialectical two-party system is just designed to keep both sides of that spectrum in check. And it's been a very effective. You got to give our captors, in this case, the mainstream media and all their cohorts in government, you got to give them credit. They have been effective, and they have kept us in this left-right false Hegelian dialectic of Republican conservative or Republican Democrat conservative liberal. And look at where it's gotten us. It's gotten us deeper and deeper into debt. It's got us bigger and bigger government. It's got us a worse economy. We could go on. Anyway, I don't.
Well,
want
it's got the great divide in America between citizens. Now you've literally got neighbors that are threatening, saying, "Hey, I'll create a restraining order against you." You've got neighbors picking sides, and these divisions, whether they be male, female, which they've been working on for a long time, whether they be gay versus straight, they've been working on that division of sexual whatever for a long time. The racial issue, they've been working on for a long time. But, Chris, let's finish with your quote. There's a quote that Chris Carlson came up with that I think really ties it all together. Chris?
Yes, sir. We have a short time to influence those we love within our little sphere of influence, and all of eternity to look back on it. Let us not do or fail to do something that we would forever regret. And I just thought, you know, we are eternal beings. We have this short period of time that we're separated from our Heavenly Father, and we kind of need to think on our own. We have the Scriptures. We have the light of Christ, which every human being that's born into this world has to help guide us. But we're kind of on our own. God's not going to sit there and tell us what to do or what to say or how to think, you know. And this is a period of time that we have to prove to our Heavenly Father how faithful we are to His Word and to His program. And I don't want to deviate from that program, because I know that the way I'm going to spend the rest of eternity, you know, at least, you know, how I look back on this short period of time, which is a probationary period, will be affected by how we spend our time during this short period of time. And I want to make sure that it's spent in a way that is useful and prepares me and those within my influence for the eternal world, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, our prayers are for America. Our prayers are for you. Our goal is to realize that we're already in trouble. It is time to speak up and warn the people. Chris?
Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
Thank you so much for Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson. Ladies and gentlemen, we the people can make a difference. Stand for the sacred cause of liberty, will you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.